So Trump has given Putin a 50-day warning that if we don't reach a deal in 50 days, well, then, gosh, you know, we're gonna bomb you. Now, this is a negotiation tactic, of course, and the United States never honestly negotiates anything. Recall what the U.S. did with Iran. They were in negotiations with Iran, and then they used the premise of negotiations as a deception to actually bomb Iran, even though it was expected that they were going to have, you know, negotiator meetings 2 days later. And the U.S. and Israel killed the negotiators. So Putin is not a fool. You know, Iran got caught off guard. They got tricked. And, you know, shame on them. They shouldn't have been so trusting of the West. Putin is not trusting of the West. Putin's not going to be fooled in this way. Putin knows there's actually no negotiating with the United States of America. The U.S. has proven that it's an untrustworthy partner on anything. Negotiations, treaties, agreements, trade, you know, monetary systems, you name it. The U.S. will always break its own promises every time. And even this entire discussion about, oh, Putin refuses to negotiate, that's not true at all, actually. Remember that every nation wants peace just on their own terms. So Putin wants peace. He wants peace with certain conditions that he has laid out, that Ukraine will never join NATO, for example, and that Ukraine would be denazified. And yes, Trump wants peace with Russia under Trump's terms, which would be that Russia does whatever we tell them to do. Right? That's always been the position of the U.S. and the West. Regime change. Like, we just don't want Putin there. We want somebody that we control. Same thing with Iran. Regime change. We want to overthrow the government and install a sympathetic puppet leader like the Shah. You know, this is always the position of the West. It never changes. So, yes, everybody wants peace just on their own terms. Zelensky wants peace, but on his terms. What are his terms? Russia evacuates all of the original Ukraine territory that Russia has taken since then. You know, the whole Donbass region and all that. Yeah, sure, Zelensky's happy to have peace as long as Russia completely leaves and that Ukraine is allowed to join NATO and Ukraine is allowed to rearm. Yeah, sure. Those are Zelensky's terms. So everybody wants peace. But when the terms do not match, then of course that's when you either negotiate or you fight it out. Well, the West has proven, like I said, that they cannot negotiate in good faith. The U.S. is incapable of negotiating in good faith. I don't care if it's Witkoff, Trump, anybody. Doesn't matter. The U.S. cannot negotiate. And the U.S. cannot be trusted to negotiate in good faith. They never keep their word. So Russia is in a position of realizing that out of the two options, negotiations versus military outcomes, there's only one remaining option for Russia, military outcome. That's it. And Trump has just given Russia a 50-day window. Essentially, Trump has announced to Putin, you have 50 days to carry out the conclusion or achieve the conclusion of your military campaign in Ukraine. Now, the 50 days isn't a hard number. It's going to get stretched out, obviously. It's just sort of big talk by Trump at the moment, but it'll stretch out, which means that really Russia has several months to achieve, let's say, commanding victories or to seize territories that will absolutely leave no doubt in the minds of Zelensky and the West that Russia is dictating the terms of the conclusion of this war. So again, Putin's got, let's say, 2 to 3 months. 2 to 3 months. Now, during this time, of course, Zelensky is almost certainly going to be targeting Russian supply infrastructure and military infrastructure that's hundreds of kilometers inside the borders of Russia. Probably not all the way to Moscow, but it looks like Trump is going to grant Zelensky, quote, permission, which really means it's U.S. soldiers running the equipment and doing the targeting and using U.S. satellite imagery, etc., to launch missiles, you know, HIMARS missiles or ATACMS missiles or whatever, or the more medium range missiles, those are going to be launched deeper into Russia. And they are going to achieve some hits, no question about it. They're going to hit some ammo depots. They're going to hit some, I don't know, railways. They're going to hit some targets. When that happens, Putin will fully realize that the United States of America is a direct combatant in this war. Because, you see, the U.S. has said previously to Zelensky, hey, we'll send you all these weapons, but they're only defensive weapons. You're not allowed to use these weapons offensively to strike targets deeper into Russia. But due to pressure of lunatics like Senator Flimsey Graham and others, then, you know, Trump is about to give Zelensky permission to strike targets deeper into Russia, which means the U.S. will be offensively involved in the war. And since that necessarily requires U.S. personnel for targeting and to run the equipment, and like I said, satellite imagery, etc., Russia's going to realize, hey, the U.S. is in the war. And that means, well, NATO's in the war. That means that all NATO targets are, in the view of Putin, legitimate military targets for Russia to strike. Now, this escalation is exactly what Trump and the West want. They want Russia to start striking targets in Romania or Poland or Germany or wherever. They want that. Because, I mean, here's why. Because the West has run out of missiles. Essentially, they're out. And the only thing that the West has left is really nuclear weapons. Nuclear weapons. There's nothing in between that the West has in any legitimate quantity. You know, the West doesn't have, let's say, Iskander missiles like Russia has. The West has to go from running out of ammunition to nuclear weapons. But in order to do that, the West needs an excuse to take it nuclear. They hope to provoke Putin into granting them that excuse by provoking Putin into attacking a military base, most likely, in a NATO country far outside of Ukraine. Russia has a capability to conduct those strikes with things like Iskander missiles or Oreshnik missiles. But Putin has been very reluctant to take this bait. Putin is very cautious. He's reserved. In fact, he's criticized by his own countrymen for being too reserved and too cautious. However, Putin's very smart about this in the sense that he knows he is avoiding giving the West the excuse that they need domestically to justify leaping into nuclear weapons. Because Putin knows that once nuclear weapons are used on the battlefield, then, you know, game theory says this whole thing escalates dramatically into nuclear territory on both sides. Once the West starts launching nukes, then Russia has little choice but to unleash a full barrage of nukes targeting Washington, D.C., New York City, you know, the financial, military, and government centers of the West. They will nuke London, they will nuke Paris, they will nuke, you know, Berlin, etc. And Putin doesn't want to do that. He, of course he doesn't want to do that. That's horrible for the future of the world. It also means there would be many incoming nukes from the West launched toward Russia, and Russia cannot stop all of those nukes. It can stop some of them, but not all of them. And that means that Russian cities would be on the receiving end of nuclear detonations. So understand that the West is run by lunatics. I mean, just sociopathic, insane lunatics. They run the UK, they run France, they run Germany, they run the US. Absolute lunatics like Lindsey Graham. Putin is actually the sane actor in this scenario. Not Zelensky. Zelensky's just an actor. You know, he's not even a leader. He's a puppet. He's playing a role. He's literally an entertainer, an actor playing a role. But Putin is rational. Doesn't mean I endorse everything that Putin has ever done or that I side with Russia. What I'm saying is that Putin is the rational actor here, whereas Western countries are not rational, which means Putin knows that Western countries literally would launch nukes. And that's why Putin is backing off of giving them any kind of internal justification for doing so, which means that Russia is going to be willing to take hits and to not respond for this very reason, because Putin doesn't want to take this nuclear. Russia has taken a lot of hits and not responded. They've dealt out a lot of damage, obviously, to Ukraine at the same time. But they've also taken a lot of domestic hits, you know, domestic terrorism, the shooting at the theater a year ago, whatever that was. They were clearly coordinated by NATO leaders. And Russia has chosen to not respond to those. That is a strategy on the part of Putin. It's a strategy of not giving in to the provocation bait. The fact that this is happening is actually, it's very fortunate for the world. Because if Putin behaved with the same insanity as Western leaders, we would already be in a nuclear world war with nuclear winter, global fallout, probably billions would be dying, etc. No joke. No exaggeration. So Putin's rationality is, at the moment, the only thing preventing World War III. And this is why the Oreshnik missile is so critical for Russia. That achievement, which is an extraordinary technological, aerospace, and military technology achievement that the West will not achieve in 20 years, by the way. You know, Russia is literally 20 years ahead of the West in that area of technology. China is ahead of the West in almost all the other areas of technology, but Russia has the most advanced ballistic missile delivery systems, including non-nuclear systems. So the Oreshnik missile is non-nuclear. And yet it can destroy any target on the ground or under the ground, any target, technically on the planet, although Russia has not yet mounted the Oreshnik systems on top of intercontinental ballistic missiles, they very easily can, obviously. So that means that what Russia is going to do is they're going to keep this in the non-nuclear zone. But they're going to strike, almost certainly, this is my guess, they're going to end up striking targets to send a message. They're going to communicate through Oreshnik. In other words, the Oreshnik translator is about to be invoked. When a Mach 11, you know, when 36 projectiles are incoming at Mach 11 and they strike your target, and they turn it to dust, there's actually a form of communication in that. And the message is, stop what you're doing. And that's how Putin's going to negotiate with Trump. Since, again, the West is a non-trustable negotiating adversary, the only way to negotiate is through things like Oreshnik. But these targets are going to be carefully chosen by Putin in order to not embarrass Trump or other Western leaders. He doesn't want to embarrass them, which would force them into a position where they have to respond or else lose domestic credibility. So the targets will be very carefully chosen by Putin to send a message without causing escalation. Those targets initially might be targets in Western Ukraine. So they're still within Ukraine, but they're outside of the normal scope of targeting. They would include, my guess is, they would include targets where, for example, Western military personnel are based. So training centers, command centers, drone operation centers, weapons assembly centers that are directed by Westerners, etc. My guess is these are going to be the targets. And if the West does not get the message at that point, then a few months down the road, we could see Russia striking targets outside of Ukraine, but that would be a major escalation, and that's something that Putin is very reluctant to do, clearly. If that happens, you can expect a very rapid counter-escalation from the West, and this whole thing could go nuclear very quickly. So the clock is ticking. 2 to 3 months right now, you may see a lot of ground action. I mean, Russia is basically in a summer offensive. They're gaining tremendous ground. They're positioning forces on the ground to potentially invade Kiev. At some point, I mean, right now they're striking. I mean, look at the drone strikes from Russia. What are they striking? Infrastructure. They're taking out power grid infrastructure, which, of course, stops trains from running in Ukraine because most of them are electric trains. They're taking out fuel depots. They're taking out military infrastructure. They're taking out military recruitment centers and also drone manufacturing centers all across Ukraine. That's designed to deplete the infrastructure in preparation for a larger ground movement on Russia's part. There may be a decisive ground, I mean, I don't want to call it a blitzkrieg because that's a German term from World War II, but, and it wouldn't be that fast, but it's something like that, just not at the same pace. Kind of like the early days of the war in 2022 when Russia just pierced deep into Ukraine with tanks in order to try to force a quick negotiation. And then they backed off of that to try to engage in negotiations. And then the West, of course, betrayed the negotiations. Boris Johnson out of the UK in particular. So keep all this in mind, folks. Keep all this in mind. There's a lot that's about to happen in the next few months. Stay prepared. Support us, healthrangerstore.com. Check out our affiliate partners at rangerdeals.com for all kinds of preparedness, equipment, and supplies. And thank you for your support. Be ready, be prepared. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So, of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that, E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high quality, ultra clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super potent antioxidant, and it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark bottle because it's sensitive to light. But it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin, capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO, and we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff, nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition,
and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.